I call this meeting to order. Please stand and place your seats.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May we have the roll call?
Councilmember Deedy?
Oh, she has been excused.
Councilmember Oglesby?
Here.
Councilmember Edelman?
Here.
Councilmember Stout?
Here.
Councilmember Wisnowski?
Here.
So, do we have a motion for the agenda review and approval?
I move that we approve the agenda.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. There are no appointments, announcements, proclamations, or presentations. I would accept a motion for the consent agenda.
I move that we accept the consent agenda.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. It's now time for public comments. Persons wishing to speak to council, please step up to the podium and state your name and city of residence and limit your comments to 3 minutes. Is there anybody wishing to address council? Kristen.
My name is Kristen Bryant. I live in Bellevue, and I grew up in Black Diamond, and I have a comment on a couple of the agenda items tonight. Thank you for the chance to address you. Tonight there are two professional services contracts on your agenda. One is for RH2 to do engineering services for the city's water supply. RH2 has received repeated contracts for work in Black Diamond, both for reviewing the massive Oak Point land development and for other engineering services. Many of these contracts have not been advertised, and therefore no other firms have gotten the opportunity to bid for this public work or the use of these public dollars. This is potentially a problem for the city when it comes to state law. RCW 39.80.030 is on contracts for architectural and engineering services. It reads as follows. The agency's requirement for professional services, advanced publication. Each agency shall publish in advance that agency's requirement for professional services. The announcement shall state concisely the general scope and nature of the project or work for which the services are required and the address of a representative of the agency who can provide further details. An agency may comply with this section by publishing an announcement on each occasion when professional services provided by a consultant are required or announcing generally to the public its projected requirements for any category or type of professional services. No notice was on the city website advertising this engineering project for which RH2 is getting a proposed contract tonight. The City of Black Diamond's policies also require advertising in the hope of receiving multiple bids. Beyond that, the Municipal Research Services Center recommends advertising for contract work, especially large ones. This contract is for well over $500,000 at $662,000. The city has been through a lot of trial and error with water supply engineering. A look at proposals from other contractors could potentially avoid further problems and issues. I realize the agenda bill says the costs are covered by the water supply and facilities funding agreement, but these are still public contracts done with public funds on behalf of the public. Government projects should include the opportunity for people to bid. And the WSFFA, the water supply agreement, was made on behalf of the people, and the money must be managed responsibly. I encourage you for the RH2 contract and the parametrics contract to postpone these items until you can look into advertising for this work. That's all my time. Thank you.
Is there anybody else wishing to address council? Gary.
Good evening, City Council, Madam Mayor, Gary Davis, Black Diamond. And Basically, I am pleased in regards to the 2019 legislative agenda that one of the things that you've included is transportation, and specifically the mitigation of Highway 169, reduction of slide risk. This is a sore point for me over the years. I've either nearly gotten caught in one of these slides letting go on 169 that was up in Renton, or been delayed for considerable lengths of time while 169 was blocked south of the Jones Road turnoff. So if this can ever be properly addressed, it'll go a long way to improving safety and the utilization of the road. Thank you.
Is there anyone else wishing to address council? Seeing no one, we will close this public comment session. We have a public hearing, an ordinance regarding Metropolitan King County sewer pass-through rate increase. Ms. Miller.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Tonight, you have before you, like the Mayor said, the pass-through rate increase. Most of the cities in South King County are connect to and are involved in the Metro Sewer Treatment Plant. Their description is the Metro King County imposed for all of their sewer system customers to recover the cost of operating their collateral systems, which take the sewer from each area to their treatment processing, where they do the processing. And they raise the rates every other year. So this is a two-year rate increase you have before you tonight. In the past, it's been quite a bit higher. They've done a lot of work to really bring those rates down to a lower percentage. And I'm really, really pleased tonight that this is probably the smallest one I've seen in the time I've been here. So this sewer rate increase goes from $44.22 a month to $45.33, and so it's a very $1.11. So that's not too bad, and it's a two-year rate, so it won't increase next year. I attached tonight their ordinance that they passed, but the very last page of their ordinance shows their worksheet, and on that worksheet at the very top, they show all the very first and second line show the rates they project that'll be in place for in 2 years, and it's not expected to go up that much more in 2 years, so you can see out into the future. They don't exactly come in, but they stay pretty close to that rate. I've really monitored them over time. So it's a nice planned process, so we know ahead of time what it's going to be. These would take effect January 1st, so we have to adopt this and get it in our system to be charging our customers by then. The city also has a COLA-type increase that was passed in 2013 that allows us to do a COLA increase on the city's piece of the sewer rate that does not go to King County. And that's 3.6%. I did include a worksheet in the packet that shows what the rates will be. I have the ordinance that we have to pass, but right behind the ordinance it shows that a customer then with our city piece of the rate, which goes from $20, or let's see, $21.02 to $21.78, so it's 76 cents a month on the city piece of the rate. So altogether it's $1.87. And if you're a Lifeline customer, which is an older customer or one with disabilities, you get a half price for that rate increase on the city share. King County doesn't allow that on their piece, but on the city piece the rate would be 38 cents a month. So I also attached an older King County ratepayer report that tells all the projects they're working on. We went online and didn't see a more current one, so I attached the one that we had had from before that talks about all the projects and how they use that money and how they're planning to use it. So if you have any questions, tonight is just the public hearing. We're planning to bring this back on the November 15th for adoption, if that's okay. And tonight we're just here to take public input or questions.
Okay. did anybody have any questions?
No, I read through it.
So is there anybody wishing to address this item at the public hearing? Seeing no one, I will close this public hearing. The next item on the agenda is a resolution accepting and approving a contract for local records grant. Ms. Martinez.
Thank you, Mayor. In your packet, you'll see a resolution for a local records grant that we were able to secure through the state. In July, we submitted our application to organize the file room with the Archives Division, and we were notified in October that our application was selected. The scope of the project is to use these grant funds to address the critical need to protect our historic and vital records, and then some of those historic records we will be releasing to the regional archives for permanent storage. We will be able to complete an inventory of the Community Development Department records and provide for adequate storage space. Also included is training with this so that all departments can adhere to the schedules and do proper disposition annually. And one special mention is a temporary staff will be hired to remove duplicates, inventory, rebox, relabel, and identify boxes for destruction. Back in 2008 was the last time the records grants were available, so now they've become available again. We were able to secure one last time as well, where we digitized a lot of our essential records, minutes, resolutions, ordinances. This time we identified one department. We had to tie it to public records requests, and one of our most public records requests coming from the land use division part. So we'll be able to go through boxes, identify, make lists, dispose, all of that. So we're really looking forward to getting this up and running. It does have to be completed by May 31st of 2019. So we're looking forward to this project. So I hope you guys approve this records grant.
Councilmember Edelman.
Well, I think our city clerk needs to get a pat on the back and kudos for not only applying for this grant when it became available, but actually getting the money. If you've been over to the Community Development Building, I don't think there's an office there except for maybe the mayor's that doesn't have boxes of documentation that needs to be reviewed and gone through and purged. And so I want to thank you, because it's this kind of city staff that we have that, you know, she's one of many, but it's great. It's brought some money into the city. Mm-hmm. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Councilmember Stout.
I really appreciate this grant. It's pretty comprehensive and has, like you said, the temporary staff member, mm-hmm. and the preliminary work that has been done to figure out exactly what you need to do, the shelving units that you need to get everything kind of consolidated. This is going to be a real boon for that office, which is busy now and is going to get busier. So this will be a great thing to kind of get things organized before
the
flood. So I move to adopt Resolution number 18-1276, accepting and authorizing the mayor to execute a grant agreement between the Office of the Secretary of State, Archives and Records Management Division, and the City of Black Diamond.
Second.
Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you. Thank you.
The next item is a resolution approving the yearly addendum to contract with ValleyCom for dispatch services. Chief Kiblinger.
Good evening, Mayor, Council. Most of you are familiar with this. I come before you every year with Valley Communications rate increases for the year for 2019. 64 cents per call increase, so we're going from $41.81 to $42.45 per dispatched call. Any questions?
Councilmember Stout.
Yes.
I don't have a question about the rate increase.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping it's okay if I ask another question.
Of course.
In Finance Committee, we mm-hmm. see these bills come through,
yes.
that we pay to ValleyCom. Mm-hmm. and they delineate how many calls they've had, and then we pay a certain amount. But it's always less. So it's like they lop off some of what technically it seems like we should pay, but they have a different way of adding up what they really charge for?
No, it's per call. The only traffic stops are half of the cost. So that may be where you're seeing a little bit of a different breakdown. Other than traffic stops, those are the only two charges.
Maybe I'm reading it wrong, but it seems like it says X number of calls, which should be X number of dollars, and then they charge us a lower amount. So maybe it is the traffic part.
Maybe we should.
don't ask them.
I'll have to look. And I apologize for not being at that meeting. We were stuck on a call for 4 hours.
Oh, well,
otherwise, I'd have been there.
That's okay. Do your job.
Yeah. I can look at that and see. I'll pull them and ask Debbie.
Maybe
I'm not sure.
Already knows, and I'm just.
Do you know?
I don't know.
I think you're right. I think the ones that are discounted, and there's a few. They put total calls, and not all of them are covered in that contract.
And there are a few that you'll see sometimes in our statistics, just from there. Well, maybe you wouldn't, because it's a different bill or a different statistic sheet they send us. There's sometimes there's duplicate calls. They'll subtract back off or be on the lookout that a call that'll be canceled later on through dispatch that maybe they go back and don't charge us for. But that's the only discrepancies I'm aware of.
I move to adopt resolution number 18-1277, authorizing the mayor to execute an addendum to the agreement for police service for Valleycom Communications for 2019.
Second. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Chris, did you have a question? Really quick. Sorry.
The question was, they do a rate increase every year? They don't do like a three-year block or a four-year block or a two-year block?
Every year. Mm-hmm. I think maybe
That's
2 years
convenient.
Ago, they didn't. It was the first year in a long time. We did have no rate increase, but it's done yearly. Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
Uh-huh. So the next item on the agenda is a resolution authorizing professional service agreement with RH2 Engineering for the design of the Springs Pump House and Piping Reconstruction Project. Mr. Botcher.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Council. I'm very pleased to bring this action before you. We have a great resource in our springs that supply an excellent high quality water for the city. That's supplied the city, even the community, the coal miners, clear back to the early 1900s. And we just collect it and pump it into town, minimal treatment other than basically chlorine and adjusting the pH. Consequently, it's a low operational cost water. And that's, we've looked at financial partners have wanted us to look at various alternatives. So it wasn't necessarily errors, it was looking at alternatives. It was making sure we were headed the right direction. Having done that and done our due diligence and honoring their caution and taking cautious steps, we're ready now to move forward to full design. Going back to selection, that's correct. We do need to advertise for professional consulting services, which we have done, and we selected RH2 for civil engineering. And that's correct. It's the category and type. Well, we advertised for civil engineering and selected RH2 and parametrics. We do not advertise for every project, but advertise for a category and type over a period of years and use that consultant. There is no requirement to, say, spread it around or to have a different consultant for every job. So This contract is in four phases. If you turn to page one of the scope, it looks like three, but phase one is a phase 1A and 1B. 1A for the pump station and 1B for the conveyance system improvements across the river. So we'll probably bid them separately, but phase one is basically from the springs to the pump house. Phase two is springs to the city hall, and phase three is the reconstruction of the collection of the springs itself. Any questions? I'd like to move forward with it.
Councilmember Oglesby?
A few questions. First, if I may ask David a question. In regards to earlier comments, is the city at risk or anything moving forward with this RH2 and not going out with bids? Are we, following protocol and everything else?
Sure. So I'll answer that with two pieces. One, I don't like to give a risk analysis in a public setting like this, mm-hmm. but I will say that the procedures followed here were 100% in compliance with state law. In fact, Seth, I thought very nicely summarized that state rules for acquiring engineering services for a city require a city to seek a request for qualifications. That's the advertising, which we do. In fact, we do it through MRSC, don't we?
In this case,
public app. Okay. So publicly advertised at the beginning for the category and type of services to be selected. You are not allowed to request bids. You do not bid for engineering services. Engineering services are not a choose the lowest cost. You're required by state law to choose the most qualified provider. And in this case, I guess I wasn't involved in the selection process. That's not something the attorney does. That's something that the professional engineers do. But the selection process is a qualification based selection process, not a price based, because you want to get the highest quality services, and of course price could factor into that if you have a sense of what they're going to cost and charge. But and I think Seth could reaffirm too that RH2's extensive and intimate knowledge of the city's water system gives it the kind of expertise and qualifications that probably it's not presumptive that they would get it, but it certainly gives them a leg up over a lot of other people just because they're so familiar with our system. So that's the process. It was followed to the T, and that should not be an impediment to your approval of this contract.
Thank you. I appreciate the answer to that. Second question, Seth, was as we move forward, what is the, when they start working on the springs and the ponds, how does that affect the citizens? Do we ever see when they're working on the ponds and redoing it, do we see any kind of backfall as a citizen in our water? Is it slower? How does that work?
Well, we have an obligation and to always provide public water that meets all the public health requirements. So that's we will have to be very cautious about work when we're working on the system. Mm-hmm. So if we need to, we'll have to take portions of it offline. There may, through this project, and we don't know yet when we get through the engineering and into construction, there may be a point where we will have to turn on the Tacoma system if there's an aspect of the project where we can't keep the old system running while the new system is being constructed. But we're not to that point yet, and so I don't know if we would actually have to do that. But the citizens shouldn't see a difference.
Thank you.
Councilmember Edelman?
Well, that just brings another question. When you turn the Tacoma water on, if you have to during that period of time, can you then, once this work is done, turn that spigot back off, or is it, once it's on, is it on?
That dynamic in our relationship with Tacoma is maybe in a state of flux.
Okay.
So I don't know.
I have a couple other comments, too. First of all, you and the WFSA partners, Palmer Coking Coal and Oak Point, have been working on this for a long time. I've been on the council long enough to know all the ups and downs of every time the WFSA partners decided that they had a better idea on where the water should come from and how it should be handled through the city. But I think you guys have all done a great job to get us where we are today. I think these are great contractors that we deal with. And I think, too, and I may be wrong, a few years ago, you did advertise for some of these contractors based on the city council at that time. And to the best of my knowledge, you got no responses except for the people that we continue to contract with. So these are highly qualified people. This isn't any schlock outfit that we're dealing with. And so I think this is just a great thing. And it's nice to see some of these projects now coming to fruition that we can move on from. So based on that, if there's no
Councilmember Staff.
This is one of the first issues that came to my attention as a council member. And I had a lot of questions about it, and I felt a little bit emotional about it because we're talking about a really beautiful natural resource that we have in the city of Black Diamond. And there were a couple of different proposals that we might just go straight with Tacoma Water or even dovetail with Covington. But here we are at the place where we're going to preserve our Black Diamond natural resource of the beautiful springs with the good water that we have. And upgrading it, protecting it, and making it ready to be used for the long term for the citizens of Black Diamond. I was just looking at some pictures that I took when we took a trip out to the springs, which was pretty fun, very beautiful. But you can see that it's an aged system, and it does look fragile. And I think we're very lucky that we haven't had problems with the system. So this right here, after all the ups and downs and all the meetings and all the gyrations of, well, maybe we should do this or maybe we should do a different thing, this with the consultants who have looked at the project and come back with the best recommendation for the city, I think this is the beautiful project to protect our water. So here we are at this point, and I would make a motion to adopt resolution 181278 authorizing the mayor to execute a $662,000 professional services agreement with RH2 Engineering Incorporated for the design of the springs, pump house, and piping reconstruction project.
Second.
Is there any further discussion?
One thing to say. This is good to see this coming forward. When we did our walkthrough, I had a lot of questions on that stuff, and you had the answers that fit what we're doing. So it's good to see that we're doing some of the work that we talked about needing to be done. And it's evident that a lot of this work needs to be done if you do kind of do the walkthrough and you look at the, I mean, we do have a gorgeous resource, right? And it's, we need to protect it and we need to maintain it. And I mean, even things from, you know, that the bridge across the river and all that kind of stuff, it's good to see us moving forward and doing that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Next item on the agenda is a resolution authorizing a professional services agreement with Parametrics for the design of the water pipe bridge across the Green River and for surveying. Mr. Botcher.
Thank you, Mayor. This is a follow-on contract or a support contract to the one you just approved. Parametrics provides surveying expertise for us and has they're familiar with the monumentation and the control in the area. They are also provide structural expertise for us, and in this case, this we need their structural expertise for the design of the pipe supported the cables that supports the pipe and the anchors on both sides of the river. Any questions on the parametrics contract?
So I move to adopt resolution number 18-1279, authorizing the mayor to execute a $119,415 professional services agreement with Parametrics Incorporated for the design of the water pipe bridge across the Green River and surveying for the larger springs design effort.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. It's time for department reports. The fire department, Chief Smith.
I've been invited to keep this short, so I'm going to miss it.
Good evening, Mayor, Council. Greg Smith, Fire Chief. So I guess the first thing we'll talk about, I'll go off my report, the document I gave you there. Volunteer Recruit Academy continues Tuesdays, Thursday nights, all day Saturdays. March, so I graduated March 9th, but I kept my school, and I'll give you a time. Same with our career firefighters at the academy, and we graduated September in January. I don't have an exact date or time on that yet. Incidents in October, City of Black Diamond, two fire calls. Both of those were mutual aid calls. One in Maple Valley, one in Kent, so no fire loss for the city. City of Black Diamond has a very low fire loss. Right? I will tell you that for a city that has very low fire loss. EMS 32, hazardous conditions, four of us, those are like natural gas lines broken or power lines, yeah. Service call six, I kind of lump those in with the EMS because most of the time on those we're going somehow, someone's house to help somebody back in the bed or back in your wheelchair, out of the car, into their house, kind of get out of the hospital. Good intent, too. Good intent is usually somebody sees some smoke coming from somebody's house, we get there. They're barbecuing the steaks in the backyard. false call seven. So for a total of 53, and so about roughly, that's about 1.7 calls per day, which doesn't seem like a lot, but that's almost two times, you know, about 70% of those are emergency medical, so almost twice a day in the city of Black Diamond, someone's having a medical problem that we respond to. So I think that's, you know, one of the good thing about the fire department, that one of the services that we provide. Like I said before, I think we should change, get rid of the fire department, call it something else. I'm not sure what. So, the Lawson Hills Fire Station site approval. One of the things that was required with the master plan development mitigation was identifying a site for the new fire station, which would replace Station 99.
So we've done that. You'll see a 4, 5, 6-page document that outlines a letter from me, a letter from the mayor, and I don't know if there's anybody else that there's a letter from.
There's one from Colin.
And so we've completed that process. So that's good because that's the next process now is the development of that site and put the plans together and looking out somewhere in the future when we start building that new fire station. Mountain View Fire Black Diamond will be joining the South King County Training Consortium starting on January 1, 2019, and Dustin Trout, who was our division assistant, was promoted to the rank of lieutenant starting today, and so he'll be our training officer for the next 2 years. That's going to be like a 4-year position, so at the end of 2 years we'll rotate another lieutenant into that position. We made a conditional offer of employment to a career firefighter today. Haven't heard back from him yet, but that's to fill a current vacancy. It's not a new position. We conducted physical agility tests called Combat Challenge and we'll be establishing a new career firefighter list. I'm not ready to hire anybody new, but we have a list ready to go in case we get an opening, so we retire or something like that. Concert season, White River Amphitheater is over, so probably not too many of you drive down there, but the people down there in the Umpire are not yet. We always try to let people know when there's going to be a concert season and we're out. The holiday Christmas engine.
I gave you a schedule for that, and we'll be posting that on our website and the Facebook page and things like that. And I think there's some opportunities for you to participate in that when it comes to Black Diamond. I think the police department will be participating in that. And so if you're interested, please let us know. Well, just about a half hour before I got here, we responded to a rollover action on 218th going down into Green Valley off of Auburn Black Diamond Road. An elderly gentleman left the road upside down into a ditch, and we extricated that person from the vehicle and landed a helicopter at our at the fire station down the valley and sent him off to Harborview. No idea who that person was or what their condition is. So, we also have a new contract with Valley Cop. So not only do we pay per call, but there's, because we're on the 800 radio system, we also pay a monthly fee for each radio that we have on them. So it's an expensive proposition, but I can tell you it's a lot cheaper than trying to dispatch yourself. So you couldn't dispatch your own self for what it costs you to do that on a yearly basis. So, and it's a good system, works good. And we'll be seeing that whole system changing over the next couple of years, 800 megahertz system. So I think that's all I have, unless council has a question.
Councilmember Edelman.
We did get an email about the holiday.
Okay.
I would encourage the council to do this. This is so much fun to ride with Santa Claus into these neighborhoods. And I mean, there's neighborhoods where they have like little block parties, and the kids just come running out when they see Santa, and it's really fun to be an elf. So I would encourage us to, as much as
we can. Yeah, it's a big party. And we have a really good Santa.
Yeah.
And this year, I think we even have a Mrs. Claus there. So, she one of the soup ladies, I heard. So, I didn't know Mrs. Claus was one of the soup ladies, but I guess she is.
Thank you.
I've done this kind of thing before. I was actually Santa Claus. We drove around and gave oranges to the kids, and they loved it. So I'll look forward to participating. One of the things I did want to bring up is, can we look at changing the signage on the Baker Street firehouse since it isn't in operation? I would hate to have someone go there thinking they could get assistance.
Well, I certainly can, right now that fire station counts towards your insurance rating, so yeah. I would be hesitant to put an out-of-service sign on it, because you'll probably see, even if you live downtown, you're going to see your insurance rates go up. So it's not completely out of service. I mean, it is a viable, we don't use it a lot, but you're saying, we tell people not to come to fire stations, and, we could certainly put something up there. If you have an emergency, call 911. Because this station is not staffed.
Yeah, that would be perfect.
Okay.
Yeah, I would just hate to see someone come there in an emergency and want help and no one be there.
There's even another thing you do. You can actually place a 911 call box outside the fire station if you want. We could talk about that. It's just
push the button,
and it calls
911. Just like college safety.
So that's something. Yeah. We can do a combination of both those things. So.
Can I ask one more question?
Councilmember Edelman?
Last one.
Okay, but there'll be an and in this.
Okay.
Because of the agreement now with the siting of the new fire station, do you have any idea of how long that's going to take before we physically see
something? I do not know.
Is that pretty much up to Oak Point then at that point?
Or that might be an answer. Maybe the mayor would know that answer, or maybe Andy. I have not.
Okay.
I don't know the answer to that. I certainly could
Well, we've talked about that probably the process will take 5 years or so.
Yeah. It'll take, I mean, first thing we have to do, there needs to be a lot line adjustment to
yeah,
get in there
that,
and some things
yeah.
like that and some other planning. So certainly at some point we probably could speak with Oak Point and see what, how long that might be. But I mean, we're ahead of the 5 year process, I think, because usually it's from the day you say, we want to build a fire station, it takes you 5 years to do that. So we've already identified a site, mm-hmm. and so we're on the way. So.
Then the second half is the question that has to do with the new apparatus for Station 98.
Mm-hmm. So the plan is Chief Barlow may have our schedule. You already have a meeting scheduled, or you're
scheduled? Yeah.
Okay, but they're scheduling a meeting to speak in November, and that's to work on the mechanics of how, not necessarily what fire engine we want to purchase, but how are we going to do that? What are the mechanics of making that purchase happen? Going out to bid and all those type of things. So
okay.
I think that's the meeting that Chief.
Because I knew that you've got your specs pretty well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're pretty much all done. Yeah. So we just need now to go out and figure out how are we going to do that. Always my main concern on that is we want to make sure that we meet the intent of the law, because you don't want and I never want the state to come in when they do their audits to find something wrong, especially a large purchase like that.
Yeah.
So, but we've got a pretty good hand. We've bought a lot of fire engines. And we're gonna walk you through it, and because the city will be purchasing that, but we'll have to do that, walk you through it. So,
okay, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. So I have put on the agenda today the approval of the 2019 legislative agenda. One of the items that was on this was the increasing the Highway 18 widening to 4 lanes, and the wording that we used was the wording that we got from Covington, because he wanted Covington and Maple Valley and Black Diamond to all have the same wording on their legislative agenda. And it was in the paper the other day that the Snoqualmie tribes have offered $1 million to proceed with this project because they have lost so many employees over the last couple of years. And two of them were just lost earlier this year, mother and daughter that were on their way to the casino and were head-on crashed with somebody that was under the influence, and so they died at the scene. And so there's a lot of people that would like to see, that use this highway, would like to see it. It's like the most dangerous highway in the state. And so anyway, if I could get a motion for accepting the legislative agenda.
Yeah, I'd like to make one comment first, though. There was a lot of work that went into this, and so and I'm part of that CLTC group, too. So this is very consistent with the way that we want to move forward with Maple Valley and Covington. Brenda did an outstanding job putting this together. It's very professional looking. So. I move that we adopt this as our 2019 legislative agenda.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much. I will be able to send this out to AWC and SCA and the CLTC tomorrow, and I appreciate the vote. So this is a reminder that our meeting with the Enumclaw School District and the Enumclaw City Council is on Monday at 5 p.m. at the high school, and kind of looking forward to that meeting. We'll get to tour the high school and hopefully get to talk about some of our issues with the VASP program. I didn't have that specifically put on the agenda because they had addressed the safety of citizens and children in the district, and so I figured that when we talked about that, we would bring that up. On 10/23, I attended Dave Riker's retirement party at the Wilderness Lodge, and they named a street after him, so it was a really nice presentation, and he was really pleased with all the people that showed up, and wishing him a good retirement. and included all of, most of his family and most of his staff and public officials from Covington, Maple Valley, and Black Diamond. Since that day, we had a public works meeting, a finance department meeting, and today we had a public safety meeting. That's the end of my report. And I think Councilmember Stout, you might be next to be first.
Thank you. Next to be first. I would just like to make a comment on the legislative agenda. This is just one little page. But every line is packed with so much work from behind the scenes. I've witnessed the workers at the Association of Washington Cities and the attorneys and the staffers, and they take their projects and they just work so hard. And every single other one, we saw the presentation here from the Covington Aquatic and Recreation Center. Just because it's one line on a page doesn't mean it isn't a really big, important thing. So I think these are all things that we can get behind as council members and as a city supporting our area, our region. I took a tour of the upcoming plats that will be coming before us for approval with Mr. Williamson. We sat in his office for a while, and he explained to me what is coming before us. The next approvals that are coming up are big. It's not a little thing. We've had one here and one here, and now we're going to have like this. And I love going out to the site and seeing the infrastructure that's there, the little cubby holes in the back where they keep the work trucks and the trailers and the supplies and the equipment, not to mention places to sort and organize materials that come off the site. And they do it in a manner to protect the groundwater. There are multiple little what do you call those things, Mr. Butcher? No, the little like drainage ponds.
The stormwater ponds.
Stormwater ponds, that's what I'm trying to say. And they arrange the properties so that it's really, 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 I don't know what the right word is. It's just very well organized. It's just not a dump site. And they just have things really organized out there. And then to see, stand up on the rock in the center, and to be able to look out and see how things are really organized and coming along, I appreciate it. Every time I go out there with Mr. Williamson, he sees something that he doesn't like, and he goes, oh, I got to take care of that. Or I've seen him stop, turn on his little flashing lights, hop out of his car and go over and talk to somebody for a minute. It's usually not something huge. One time we were way, way in the back, and he said to me, what's a private vehicle doing out here? Those guys aren't supposed to park out here. And he went and talked to somebody and said, you're supposed to park up there and come out here in the truck. So they keep the site clean and orderly, and I really appreciate it. So it's going to be really interesting to see what comes before us in the next little while and watch all of that move forward. I attended a public works meeting where we talked about the springs in depth, the contracts that we addressed tonight. A finance committee meeting where Brenda Martinez attended and explained to us and showed us lots of pictures and areas that this grant for records is going to take place. And then the special council meeting that was another section of reviewing the budget for 2009. So much work goes into that. And then our new homework assignment is review of the comprehensive plan draft, which has come into our hands, our big thick chunk of notebook to review and see what changes have come and get ready for approval of that document.
Thank you. Councilmember Wisnowski?
Speaking of the comprehensive plan, planning committee has been meeting and will meet multiple times this month and multiple times next month to go through the comprehensive plan chapter by chapter. It's a lot of time spent to make sure that it aligns with the policies that we want to take forth in the city. So Melissa and I have lots of homework to do and work with Barbara and the mayor on that. So we've had those meetings. The legislative agenda is great, except, spell my last name.
What?
S-K-I.
Noxy.
Because you can't spell Tobago.
She'll change it tomorrow. If I send it out, you'll send me a new copy.
I apologize.
That's all right. I get second W's. I get, I've had it slaughtered so many times. And the reason we all end in SKI is because we can't spell Tobago. Because it was not spelled Tobago, it would be just weak.
I'll switch the candy.
At least you can pronounce your last name. My Polish relatives pronounce theirs.
So, no, I'm looking forward to try to free up some time to go on the Holiday Engine. That's always fun. Kids love to see fire trucks and Santa, and they get a gift. Come on. Kids love it, right? Even if it's just an orange, right? We used to do it with the ambulance, because then we could be inside with a orange. Because this was upstate New York, so, you know. It was very cold. We'd give out oranges and stuff, so that was great. So, looking forward to going through the comprehensive plan and doing that, and then hopefully everybody has a great holiday, and everybody survived last night's holiday, and didn't eat too much candy or get too sick. So, it's good to see the community come together, right? We went to the trunk or treat at Grace Road, and then we went up to Lawson Hills, because apparently my daughter didn't have enough candy. But it was great to see everybody walking around out there together, and big older kids and younger kids, and it was very civil, and you know, kids weren't, you know, very safe, and it was really nice to see. So.
Councilmember Oglesby?
I have a quick question. Did we get all the department reports through? I didn't hear the police or the finance when we read the department reports.
Well, unless they ask me to report, I don't call.
I have to take a quick thing, but I'll put a book on it.
Oh, okay.
I just didn't know if we just went through all of it, or do we just, I didn't know. So I want to make sure that...
Well, we don't usually, unless somebody requests that they do give me a department report, I don't do them.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much for that. All right. What did I do? Let's see. Reports, pretty much with everybody else. You know, I met with Andy, went over to the plat for the final plat of 10 trails. That might be coming up. It'll be coming up soon. We had our work study last week and reviewed the budgets. Let's see. Again, the planning committee meeting here with Chris. Lots of reading to do, chapter by chapter. Before I started, I made a lot of highlighting notes and questions that I have for the future, so that's kind of, I'm really passionate about that. It's a great read, too, so if anyone wants to read the comprehensive plan, it's actually not that bad. Public safety meeting today, learned a lot. Some great things coming up in the community. We have Shop with the Cop at the Eagles, and that's going to be tomorrow from 6 to 8, $11 for the meal. All the money and all the proceeds support the Black Diamond Kids that are going to be attending Shop with the Cops. So I encourage the community to support that. It's a great way to support your local community and the children. So if you guys can make it out to the Eagles tomorrow night, please do. I know the PTA, Black Diamond PTA Thanksgiving dinner is coming up. It's another free community event that happens every year at the elementary school. So keep a lookout for that. Some of the things we talked about in our public safety meeting today, Tammy wasn't there, but just some things you should be concerned about as residents and business owners is that a lot of times counterfeit money goes around, and just to be aware of that kind of stuff as a business owner moving forward, and just, you know, be aware of that. So just want to throw that out there and just be aware of it. Let's see. Yeah, I think that's about it. Thank you.
Councilmember Edelman.
Okay, I also, went to the Public Works and Finance Committee meetings this week, or last week. I also did a tour of the subdivisions. And it is amazing how much information Andy knows. He knows. It is incredible. And we also had an incident where there was a big dump truck of some sort, huge thing, that was traipsing across the property, dumping from point A to point B, and Andy goes, he can't be there. Just a minute. On his phone. And it's like, you go talk to somebody, and you tell them, and you get back with me. And boy, they are afraid when they see that red car go up there. They know something's not right. But he's doing a great job with keeping his finger on the pulse of what those folks are doing up there, because they're going to take a shortcut if they can. And so that's his job and our staff's job to make sure that they don't. So other than that, I've just been busy doing stuff. But at our last meeting, I talked about this Regional Affordable Housing Task Force action plan, and it was included as just an attachment on your in your packet. What I wanted to do for the sake of the audience and those that might be listening to the audio, and Brenda, I'll give you my copy when I'm done. Basically, this is a Sound Cities Association potential future action item. And it has to do with the county and the cities getting together to try to figure out what they're going to do about their housing crisis. So I've just jotted down a few notes. There's a lot of things that happen at the Public Issues Committee meeting, Sound Cities Association, that don't apply to us. We're just a nice, small community with issues that we can deal with. We're not Auburn and Kent and Bellevue and Issaquah that have got some really big major issues. So we don't have a huge homeless population. We have a few. I think we have couch surfers for sure. What we do have is a very low income and very low income folks that live here that we need to pay attention to. The King County Regional Affordable Housing Task Force has been meeting since July of 2017. The task force released a draft 5-year action plan for comment, which is what this is. The PIC members are encouraged to provide feedback on this draft, and then we may be taking action on this at our next meeting on the 14th of November. The proposed plan includes 7 high-level goals addressing the housing crisis and recommended implementation strategies for adoption by cities, county, and at the state level. So the first one is establish a standing committee of the King County Growth Management Planning Council dedicated to regional collaboration to promote affordable housing. B, setting a goal for building or preserving units of affordable housing to serve people earning less than 50% of AMI, which is the area median income, which is about $12,000 annual income. There are more than 122,000 households in King County earning less than 50% AMI that are cost burdened, and that means that they're spending more than 30% of their income on housing. The next one is promote affordable housing near capacity, high capacity transit. So that's big cities, that's certainly not us. Improving tenant protections, implement more consistent tenant protections at the statewide and regional level to address just cause eviction notice of rent increases and tenant relocation assistance. They want to protect communities of color and low income communities from displacement. They want to promote overall housing growth and diversity of housing types, recommending updating zoning and land use regulations to encourage more diverse housing supply, exempting certain development fees for affordable housing, and incentivizing affordable housing development. The last one is improving community engagement. It's engaged with the neighborhoods and the residents in planning for affordable housing and improved coordination with philanthropic, business, and faith communities. And this is something that they're not just looking within the municipal governments. They're also looking at philanthropic and faith communities. Their overall goal is to strive to eliminate the cost burdens for households earning 80% of the AMI, which I said was about $12,000, and below, with a priority for serving households at or below 50% AMI. They have a lot of strategies that they had in that proposed plan, and there's some blanks in there, so I'm assuming at some point they're going to fill in those XXXs. I don't know what those are yet. I know we'll get more information as we get closer to the PIC meeting on the 14th, but I need to get an overall feel on what we as the council feel about this plan, even though probably most of it doesn't apply to us. But we have the same vote as Bellevue, Kirkland, Renton, Maple Valley, everybody. It's one person, one vote at the pick. And so if you are in agreement with what these folks are, where they're heading, that's great. If you don't like it, then I need to know why, because I will voice that we don't like it. So just quick comments or anything?
Councilmember Stout.
Well, I've listened to you talk about what goes on at PIC meetings for a long time now, and it seems to me that you are in support of this as you've watched it transpire. So are there any things that you see about this plan that you see are problems or going off in the wrong direction? Are you concerned about anything within?
Not necessarily. My biggest problem is the amount of money that these cities and counties throw at an issue without solving the problem. I can't fix that. I think all of these people that are involved in it, it's Mayor Baker, one of the mayors from up north, and one of the county council people are on this committee. You know, their hearts are in the right place, but it's like with so many things. Until you identify why these people are homeless, mm-hmm. you can throw money until the cows come home.
Well, also, it seems like there are things that become popular in the community where people say, oh, well, let's build tiny houses on a little tract.
Yeah.
And I've researched that myself, and that actually doesn't work. It's not helpful. Yeah. Tiny houses are helpful for people who are well-to-do and want to live a minimalist lifestyle, but they're not helpful for lower-income or impoverished people. So, I mean, that's just an example of something where you can come up with a cute idea that isn't going to be helpful.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm asking about this, if you've seen, if it seems like it's thoughtfully prepared.
I think it is. I do have respect for these people. I may not agree with them on all of their political bents, but I think they're trying to do the best they can with. And some of these, you know, Seattle's got a huge bend. Now, Seattle is not a part of Sound Cities Association. It's everybody but Seattle. But you look at these large cities, they have a big problem. They need to address it. You know, when I look at our city, and something that bugs me personally, I've actually voiced it at the PIC, is they talk about affordable housing. Okay, affordable housing is $400,000 house. How is that affordable to someone who is, you know, making $12,000 or $14,000 a year? It's not affordable. From my perspective, what I'd like to see for our community is to protect what we have here right now. Protect the Rainier View, King County housing, make sure that that's functioning. Even that's getting expensive. Ginger Passarelli told me that to buy into that right now costs $80,000. That's supposed to be low-income senior housing. How many seniors have $80,000 just sitting around that they don't need to just live? So that bothers me. Cedarbrook, you know, they're going through and upgrading that now, but I really hope that with those new owners that they don't end up displacing those low-income people because they have no place else to go. And we've seen this in some of our other communities where these old mobile home parks, they can make too much money by selling them off and building houses. So I want to make sure that we do what's best for our little city. There's a lot of these things that only apply to the bigger cities. I also would suggest if any of you on the council would like to come to a PIC meeting, you're more than welcome.
When are they?
It's the 14th of November.
Is it a standard day meeting?
Yeah. So it's usually the second Wednesday of the month. And then they also, it is great training too, because they also have
usually a pre-pick, and there'll be a meeting. Anne McFarland from Jurassic Parliament comes at least once a year and gives us a little thing. There's all sorts of these kind of endeavors out at the county level that they will come in for an hour. It'll start at 6 o'clock, and we get a one-hour presentation on like one table, which is another thing that's out there for homelessness. And so we can get a little bit more education before the actual PIC meeting starts. But the PIC starts at 7 o'clock, and it's held at the Renton City Hall Council Chambers. And it's a really great way to see how the other cities are interacting. It's a great place to network. I have my friend from Redmond that I used to cry on his shoulder all the time, and you just meet great council members. Again, it doesn't matter what their politics are, because we're all nonpartisan when we're doing our jobs here. But you can talk about what's going on in your city and maybe get a different perspective, especially if you're dealing with the bigger cities that they're dealing with big things that we don't deal with. But I invite you. Now, we can only have one at a time because we can only have two of us be there. But I would encourage you if you'd like to. Anyway, that's all I have.
So I handed out tonight some information that was brought in by a citizen about the Black Diamond Elementary School speed zone proposal. And what I suggest is that the new lights that he's requesting have to be requested by the school, and the school principal is already working on that. So I suggest that when we get further into that project and you get a chance to read this stuff, since I just handed it out tonight, we can include it in one of our work studies in the next month or two and see about moving forward, what it will take to move forward with improving that school zone so it's a little bit safer. So do we have an attorney report?
Just to say to brace yourselves, you're going to get a lot of stuff in the next month or so.
You said that last month. So it's time now for the second public comments. Those persons wishing to address council, please step up to the podium and state your name and your city of residence and limit your comments to 3 minutes. Is there anybody wishing to address council? Kristen.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Kristen Bryant. This is just a quick follow-up to my prior comment. It may be useful for the record to note that advertising for project to work on the water system is important regardless of whether in the past advertisements have yielded multiple responses or not. To say that a past advertisement didn't yield a lot of firms is not a reason to stop advertising for projects. And I think the more advertising, the better. If it was advertised somewhere, also posted on the city website, that's something the city used to do. Also, in the RFQ that went out, whatever we're calling them, 2 years ago for the Master Developer Review Team. There were 5 responses for the surveying portion, and the Parametrics contract tonight does include surveying, and I think that that is definitely something that the city, you know, may have once again seen responses for, but we won't know now. We don't have the benefit of seeing how other companies might approach the engineering, this really important water system engineering work. That's all.
Is there anybody else wishing to address council? Seeing no one. Oh.
I'm really quick. You guys want to talk fast. But just 2 things I just wanted to bring up. It's been a couple-year project, but we finally received last month our last 2 AEDs, so every officer has an AED in their car. So that's a long time coming, but we're finally there, and we got the last 2 delivered. The second thing was, I think you guys saw it, we posted on Facebook, but we were ranked number 2 as safest city in the state of Washington.
Yes.
That's a big deal. We started kind of in the top 20, and every year we've gotten better. So I don't often brag about your officers, but you guys have amazing officers here. They're proactive. They don't wait for stuff to come. They go find it. So you're very fortunate. They're a great group of guys. I'd like to stay optimistic about 2018, but looking at our felony filings, I don't know how next year will be. But 2017 was good, so.
Thank you. So I will close this public comments section, and we have no executive session, so I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
I move we adjourn.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Meeting adjourned.